Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team.
Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your co-host, Colin Stewart, and today I'm joined by a guy who never gets ghosted. We're going to talk about Christopher Fago's framework for having every demo you book show up and be on time. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Colin, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. You?
Doing great. Thursday, so we're getting ready for the weekend.
Right on, man. So tell me, if you're booking demos, but you're a cloud security specialist at RedLock, help me understand what's going on here.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, essentially at RedLock, we have field reps and inside reps. We call the SDRs or the inside guys cloud security specialists, because really what we're learning more and more over the course of the cloud security landscape is that education is the key, right? So it's really more about educating and learning, you know, learning more about your customers and educating as well as, you know, helping them along the way, right? Everyone is migrating to the cloud. It's an inevitable thing. And with that comes just making sure that everyone is doing it securely and safely. And so that is why, you know, we like to use the term cloud security specialist, because we want you to feel like we are the right people to guide you on your cloud security journey, you know, whether or not you go with us. Obviously, we would love your business, but we also would love for you not to leak, you know, millions of personal data for, you know, people all over the world. Mm-hmm.
And one of the, obviously, a great cause to be helping with, especially in, you know, considering the, you know, recent events. One of the things I want to point out is you call your BDRs, your SDRs, cloud security specialists, and it sounds like you guys have quite a bit more training than your typical SDR. Like, talk to me about your life in sales so far.
So as far as my background in sales, I've been doing this for 7 years. I've gone from, you know, SDR to, you know, team lead. I've been an account manager. I've been an account executive. I've kind of worn all the hats, which gives me the perspective of understanding how sales operates from, you know, start to finish. What I think is important for, you know, RedLock, you know, a company that's new, or even for more startups to start doing this, is to not hire people for the SDR role as their first sales role, because it is, if not, you know, the hardest sales role, it's certainly up there. You know, opening is just as hard as closing. And some might argue, you know, it is the hardest thing to do, get the door open. So I think with RedLock, we, you know, when they brought me on, you know, they definitely loved my background in terms of, you know, this is my third sales job at three different companies, three different industries. I've been successful each time, and it allowed them to know that, like, okay, the guy we're going to invest in, he's done it before, and he's not going to, you know, faint at the first sight of like a hard month or a hard day of SDR life, which I think is really important when you think about how much of a grind it is, right? Mm-hmm. And so from a cloud security specialist perspective, how that all ties in, you know, one, we want to make sure that, you know, the people that we bring in understand the learning curve, right? So I never had previous experience in cloud security. Now I can probably speak for about an hour with like-minded individuals. It's been about 11 months. But it wasn't really until about month three where I realized, okay, I've got it. I feel confident. I feel comfortable. And, you know, we're starting to see that with, you know, a couple more individuals where, you know, we implemented RedLock U, and, you know, there is definitely a learning curve for cloud security. And it's an industry that it seems like every day there's not only like another, you know, we always joke another week, another leak, some companies having some sort of, you know, business ending crisis, but it seems like every day there's a new competition in our backyard that does, or at least says they do something similar. It's all, you know, it's all the same buzzwords. So having an understanding, and education really, it helps you ramp much quicker, because, you know, I like to say you can always spot the guys who know the words but don't know what they're talking about, mm-hmm, versus the guys who know what they're talking about as well as being able to say the words, right? You can always spot that.
And I think you had an advantage coming into the role, because normally when you're hiring an SDR, it's somebody who's more junior, they're fresh out of college, right? Whereas, and then they're figuring out not only how to sell, how to work in a company, how to be an SDR, and the product. But you've already nailed all those other pieces. You just had to focus on really like nailing cloud security.
Right. I mean, when I joined Redlock last June, you know, the goal was, you know, what the company needed and what was best for the company was more at-bats, right? Just more conversations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, understanding that we came out of stealth in May with our Series A, fast forward 49 days to June, you know, I'm now hired as the first inside sales guy on the East. Really, we have 25 states and we just need to have as many conversations as possible. Because once you start having those conversations, you start trading time, telling stories, and eventually things come out where you come out in the, you know, ahead, you come out in opportunities, you come out in deals. You can't be picky at a company that's, you know, essentially 1 month public to, you know, certain ICPs or certain tiers, right? Like you can't just go, I only want the Fortune 500. Of course you do. Everyone wants the Fortune 500, their name brand, and they're sexy. But are they ready to be your customer? And are you even ready to support them based on the staff you have? Mm-hmm.
100%. I think it's such an easy mistake to make is like, hey, we're brand new, just got our Series A, just got our seed, you know, just launched our beta, you know, let's go settle the Fortune 500. It's like, all right, but are you
right.
ready?
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of tied into, you know, where we were at the time, right? Like when I joined in June, I was the third sales hire on our team. So we had two field reps, East and West. And then we had someone in marketing and a VP of marketing. And that was really the power five. And, you know, now you fast forward to today, not even a year since we came out of stealth, the sales team alone, including our channel, you know, if we include all of our sales team, we're about 15. And so now, you know, we're getting a little bit, you know, we have a little bit more structure. But back in June, it was all about understanding what the company needed as a whole, which was just opportunities to talk to companies mm-hmm. about what we do and what they're doing. And, you know, it's interesting, like you never want to lose, but you learn the most from losing. And I don't think that a company that comes out of stealth that loses a deal really lost, because they probably learned something they didn't know a month ago when they were still in stealth, that you run into competitors that you didn't even think were going to be on your short list. Mm-hmm.
No, today we're talking about at-bats and how to make sure that people aren't ghosting you. And maybe I'll translate that into English, but basically you're booking meetings and making sure people show up to those meetings. So let's talk about meetings for last year and some stats.
Yeah, sure. So last year, you know, I started June 19th. And I scheduled 88 meetings in 190 business days, right? There was time off, obviously, for, you know, vacation and holiday, but essentially coming in fresh, It took me less than a month to get 4 or 5 meetings, just based on understanding the framework that every SDR or even account executive should be able to do, right? You should be able to be dropped into a process where you can just plug and play the basics that you know and be successful. Because at the end of the day, unless you know, stay with the company forever, you're going to be the new guy somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, you know, within those 88 meetings, you know, I was able to consistently over the first 6 months, you know, I had some months, you know, I think my first month I had about 10 meetings, but over time I pretty much averaged like 20 meetings just to, you know, get the bulk of it. And a lot of those meetings came once I finally got like that confidence, because I was able to, you know, being able to have 88 meetings, 190 business days means I'm basically setting up a new conversation every other day for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And what that allows us to do is go back to the framework of trading time and telling stories. You know, we're a brand new company. We want to tell the story of the industry and how we perceive it. We want to tell the story of how we think we can help you solve the common headaches. And, you know, hopefully you tell us back whether or not, A, it makes sense. B, it's even possible that you could need what we provide, and C, if you want to learn more. You know, I think you and I talked about this a little before, but winning deals is important, but having conversations is required. You know, you're not going to get wins without that first conversation.
Yeah. And even if the deal goes to a no or a no decision, it's not like it's a no forever, you know, it's
right.
It's a future pipeline there.
So for sure. Yeah.
I'd love to sort of steer this into, you mentioned, trading time, telling stories. So talk to me about this framework of yours.
Yeah. So when I started in June, you know, we didn't have a technical resource on the East Coast. We had a solutions engineer on the West Coast, but as you know, there's a 3-hour time difference. And we decided we didn't want to lose 3 hours of daylight and, you know, kind of handicap ourselves. So, you know, I suggested, hey, why don't we cut our calls into 30 minutes? You know, why don't we just do discovery calls for everyone? Because ultimately, like, even if you ask for a demo, not everyone deserves a demo. It's not always the best customer journey. And it's not always the best use of everyone's time, right? If we're being respectful. So what we did was we put a 30-minute cap on our calls, and we tried to use that 30 minutes to determine, you know, who they are, what they're doing, what, you know, what's keeping them up at night, you know, your standard discovery process. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the call, we realized we can now say, okay, let's schedule a demo, and we could pick and choose when the, you know, our West Coast technical resource was available. And it actually allowed us to have more conversations in the East Coast mornings and more demos in the West Coast mornings, you know, East Coast afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, up front, since we didn't have a technical resource on hand to essentially, you know, do the heavy lifting, we were able to, you know, have less demos, or I would say less is a negative term. I'd say we had more appropriate demos, because in software, everyone's just kicking tires unless they're serious. But really, everyone who spends an hour with you is, you know, is still suspect. So, you know, we went with that mindset, which was not everyone deserves a demo. What is best for the customer and their journey? And it's customer first, you know, presentation. And you hear a lot of companies who say, look, you know, thanks for the demo request. I'd love to spend like 30 minutes with you to try and tailor it. It's not something I invented. It's just something that everyone does, but we had to do it out of necessity until we were able to hire more. And that allowed us to, you know, we had fewer full 60-minute demos, but we had more 30-minute calls. And even more so, what we started to do later on was we would even just do 30-minute demos, and we wouldn't have like the sales part of the demo at all. Like, we would just do, we'd do the sales part of the demo up front, and then the techno part of the demo when they could, you know, get a larger audience. And it allowed you to understand, one, if they're not willing to schedule a second call, were they really even interested?
Yeah. And then you've just saved yourself, you know, the time and I don't know about pain of going through a demo, but I think there's nothing worse than going through a demo with a group of people that just aren't interested. And you're wasting, you know, if you've got one of those like press play sort of demos where you stand and deliver for an hour, I think there's just nothing worse than being on either side of that. So I love that the constraint of not having an East Coast resource has forced you into what is arguably a better best practice.
And yeah, I know it worked out from an efficiency standpoint for me, but also for the customer, right? It was always with them in mind, like, look, we have 30 minutes. Here's my agenda. Do you want to add anything to that agenda at the end of this? And I still do this today. You know, let's use the 30-minute call to schedule a deeper dive. And that way I don't have to show you 10, 15 slides again. I can kind of like front load the sales, you know, the sales presentation that most people usually check out for, and really use the discovery call more for conversation and less for here's who Redlock is, here's what Redlock does, here's how we do it, here's who we've helped. Does that sound like something you would be interested in? And just saying like, tell me all about your process and what you're going through. And if it makes sense, let's grab, you know, our technical guys who are much smarter than us and much more in tune with what's going on in the industry to show you what's under the hood.
Mm-hmm. And you booked quite a few of these, you know, initial calls. And it sounds like last year you said you did one every other day, basically every other business day. But you shared your numbers with me, and so far this year you're up to nearly a meeting a day. It's like 0.8 meetings a day.
How many? Yeah. So this year, you know, I've scheduled 59 meetings in 74 business days, and that includes all. You know, I deducted all the time I was out on PTO, but essentially, you know, I'm getting close to almost one a day. That's really my goal for the year, is to at the end of the day have one a day for the whole year.
Now, that's a lot of meetings that you're setting up for yourself. So let's jump in. Like, how do you make sure that, you know, because if you get a 50% no show rate on that, that's a ton of wasted time. So how do people actually show up?
So, you know, I wrote about this on LinkedIn, and we can share it, you know, in the notes, but essentially, you know, I was a paid user of Calendly. I still use Calendly on the free model. They are literally my next door neighbor on Peachtree Street. So huge, you know, huge supporter, and you got to choose Atlanta. But, you know, as it came to using it, I learned one of the features that they had was like they would auto send a reminder email. And, you know, the copy wasn't the same, but I just looked at the copy and I was like, how can I use this to my advantage? And so that is essentially what I started to do. You know, essentially today is a good example. I scheduled a meeting with a prospect. I sent him a thank you saying, hey, you know, thank you, Mr. Prospect. We are scheduled to speak next morning at 10 a.m. You should see a calendar invite for me shortly. Send that out and then immediately send another one that says, if they haven't replied, you know, send a new one that just says, here's, you know, here, we'll read it. You know, essentially schedule another one. You know, you can do this in any of the, you know, sales automation tools you use, whether it's SalesOft or Outreach or MixMax. There's so many now, but essentially you just take your template, your subject line is, you know, confirming so that when they see it, they're just like, okay, this is not anything I should ignore because it's just a simple like confirmation email. And then I just put the name of the meeting, which at Redlock, we have a common terminology that we use for calls and demos so that everyone can just look at the calendar and know, is this something that is, you know, how long is this going to take? And really, it allows us to swap solutions architects now to where they can just go, oh, this is a Redlock demo. I know exactly what this call is going to be about. Mm-hmm. So even if they're, not in tune to the sales, because, you know, the solutions engineers are a team, right? So they rotate all the time. They're not territory-based unless they travel. So I want to be able to say, okay, someone is sick. I got a demo today. I want to put them on there, but I might not have the time to bring them up to speed on 100% of the details. So we use the common vernacular of Redlock demo, and then I put that in the subject line. So confirming Redlock demo. And then, you know, I just say, you know, hi, Mr. Customer. This is a friendly reminder to confirm our call for tomorrow. And then I include AM, PM and the time zone because time zones are tricky. I always include the meeting URL. Mm-hmm. So whether it's Zoom or WebEx or Uber conference, I always put that in there. And then if you have them, it's always important to put agenda item. And I've started more lately. You know, I saw this on the sales development Slack, which was leaving a line blank that just says like, do you have any agenda items for you to list? Allowing the customer to then add it. Because again, when we talk about time being the only thing we're never going to get back, and you know, that's my big thing is trading time and telling stories. At the beginning of almost every sales call, you have this conversation. You go over the agenda and then you ask, is there anything I missed? Is there anything you want to add? And usually there is. So why not like get that out of the way? And then I just say, look, if there's any issues, don't hesitate to email or call me. Here's my personal cell phone. I put that in there. And the reason why I do that is because I personally don't care if you don't show up. Just tell me. And when you give people the ability, I feel like a lot of no-shows happen because you schedule a meeting 1, 2, 4 weeks out. Everyone's forgotten. Jim had a baby. You know, someone's dog is at the hospital. Like every life happens and we forget. And so you got to give people the ability to be human again and say, oh man, I just realized that when we scheduled this, I didn't know I was going to be at a conference all week. Can we move it? Mm-hmm. And that happened last week. So it's really just when you allow humans to be courteous, they usually take it because it's inherent.
But when you toss the meeting so far in the future and then just sit there and cross your fingers and hope they show up, that's sort of a dangerous game, isn't it?
It is. I would say like the furthest I would actually schedule a meeting out is 3 months. And I know that sounds crazy. I actually have a template for that as well. Basically, you know, no matter what the situation arises, you know, I had a guy in January and he said, hey, Chris, I'm definitely interested, but you know, we're trying to hire someone first who would actually be the guy to use the product. So can you reach out to me, you know, sometime, you know, in May? I said, look, why don't we put a temporary placeholder on your calendar for the middle of April? Mm-hmm. So I put the calendar invite middle of April and I sent the reminder email the Friday before. It was on a Monday. So this was even worse. It might've been the perfect storm. It was 3 months ago and I scheduled it for a Monday afternoon in the middle of a month. And I sent him the reminder on Friday and then on Sunday, cause you know, sometimes I do it twice if it's a little iffy. And he wrote me back and he said, Monday is a holiday in the Northeast. It's Patriots Day. Can we move it out to Wednesday? And I was just like, yep. That's the whole premise, right? It's the whole premise of the actual email. It's not, you know, the agenda is nice to have, but the email itself is just a friendly reminder to give people the out, because there's nothing worse, like you said, than being stood up.
Yeah. And you feel bad because you got set up. Somebody else feels bad because, you know, they got caught up in other things that were a higher priority than buying some stuff. Right. And unfortunately, you know, as salespeople, sometimes, yeah, I mean, I spent my whole life in sales. Life gets in the way. There are active customers that get in the way of buying stuff. And like, you're always going to, you know, always going to take that meeting over something that where you're buying something, you know, so priorities tend to shift and change.
Yeah, totally. And that, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there, right? Like we all have a funny bone, but we all also have a guilty bone, right? Where even if it's things like little things that you wouldn't think you feel bad about, sometimes you do, because we're all human. And so, you know, if I set up a call and it's 30 minutes and I bring my technical guy, or if I don't bring my technical guy and I bring the field rep, right? The last thing as an SDR, and I think this is super key for all those new SDRs out there, is the last thing an SDR ever wants is to invite basically someone that they work with and have them get, you know, waste their time, right? Because now you have these experienced sales reps who, you know, their time's even more valuable per hour than yours, and they don't show up. And if that becomes a trend, it will cause, you know, unfortunately, it'll cause a little bit of, you know, internal strife, because it's like, okay, well, this guy, you know, every meeting he books for me is a no-show. I don't think he's good at his job. Like, it all just bubbles up.
You lose that trust, right? And then when you do have those good booked meetings, they're not going to be super high priority on their calendars either. So,
right. Yeah. No. And so that's why, yeah, definitely. I definitely think, is it another step? Sure. But it's also, it'll save you a lot of heartburn. Especially if you're a new SDR and you're kind of trying to woo or win others over to make sure that they feel like, okay, I want to take care of Chris because Chris usually takes care of me.
But let's be honest here. It's not that much heartburn, really. I mean, you're sending an extra email. Talk to me a little bit about your cadence here. So when you send a confirmation email, once you book the meeting, then what?
Yeah. So the minute you respond to me with a time and date that you want, I create the invite and then I reply, and, you know, I say like, it's super easy. It's one sentence. It says, okay, you should be seeing an invite soon. Let me know if you don't get it, because things happen with spam filters and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then that's it, right? You get the email, you get the meeting confirmation email, then you get the meeting reminder email. And then you get a meeting, you know, an email after the meeting. So it's really what I would recommend everyone out there do is, at the very least have it be three ways, right? Like if you write me and you say, hey, can we talk tomorrow, Friday, April 27th at 10 a.m.? And I just send you a calendar invite and I don't even write you back. Like that's not a good look. So I should write you back and say, tomorrow, April 27th looks good for me at 10 a.m. I'll send you a calendar invite shortly. That way, you know that if something comes up and I get a phone call and I got to leave the office, you're going to get a calendar invite from me shortly. I don't say when, but it's coming. Mm-hmm. And it goes on my to-do list, and I can, you know, sometimes I do it in real time. Sometimes I do it at the end of the day, although, you know, and we'll get to this in a minute. So send the reply, you know, send the reply and confirm with them via the instant reply. Then, at least the night before. So the last thing I do in my time blocks on every day from 4 to 5, the last thing I do is create tomorrow's to-do list based on things I didn't do today, and send my confirmation emails for the day if I haven't already automated them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because not everyone has sales automation. Some people are still doing it the regular way. So just create a task in your calendar. Make sure that it's the last thing you do the night before. So even though Colin's left for the day, when he gets my confirmation email, it's the first thing he sees in the morning. And then after the meeting, use that same email where you said confirmation of this meeting, and, you know, put in your post-meeting conversations, like agendas for the next call, or it just allows you to create more cohesion, and people really seem to be attracted to like the thread.
It's more touch points. It's faster recall. So when you're, you know, say that person is panicking before their next meeting, they're like, okay, you know, what am I, who is this Chris Vago guy and why am I jumping on a call with him? You know, you go and you do this, search your email, or you look in the calendar invite and you see, you know, the agenda's in the invite. You see a couple emails from you saying, hey, you know, thanks for the meeting. This is what we talked about. This is when our next call is, and this is what we're going to talk about then. It's just, it's a classy approach. You know, it makes it easy. It's simple for you to do. And it makes my job of person getting on the attending that meeting so much easier.
Yeah. And I think even if you weren't, you know, what's happening a lot more and more, right? I think the statistic is like an enterprise deal takes like 8 people to get it through. It's like, you know, I think even Aaron said it's like passing a bill in Congress. Mm-hmm. He tweets that a lot. So I remember it. But if there's 8 people coming to my call and I only invite you and you forward just the invite, wouldn't it be nice if you had you could forward the reminder with the agenda that asked you to, you know, insert anything I've missed? Or it just gives people the ability to be more engaged, and being engaged is the game when it comes to sales, you know, no matter what role you're in.
100%, Chris. So last sort of question before we wrap here, what are we missing? What haven't we covered? So we've talked about, you know, how you get people, you know, to on these meetings with your demo process. We've talked about making sure that they're showing up. What are we missing here?
You know, I think if there's a takeaway, it's just, you know, kind of be undeniable, right? I have people ask me all the time, like, you know, when do I get to do this? Or how do you become an A player? And you see these threads all the time, like, how do you become an A player as an SDR? So I've been an SDR for 3 years. Before RedBlock, I generated over $3 million in cold pipeline in the span of 18 months as the first SDR hire for that company. You know, but you do see it a lot. I'm sure you see it a lot. Everyone's saying, you know, how do I be an A player? And I think you just got to be undeniable. You know, being in sales development is hard. And, you know, I saw the term was surfboard shoulders, right? You can never be too high and you can never be too low, because you'll fall off the board. And that's what it's like to be in the SDR driver's seat every day, because your wins are wins, but your losses, you can't let them drown you. And, you know, that's kind of my takeaway.
Right on. Chris, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. We're going to drop a link to your LinkedIn article in the show notes. So if anybody wants to check that out, you can go look up Chris or check out the show notes, and Chris's link is right there. If people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Yeah, just hit me up on LinkedIn. I think in June I'm going to start doing like 15-minute like trade time and tell stories. Like, I want to get to know more people. We have this wonderful thing called the internet, and we should all, you know, help each other out however we can.
Right on. Well, thanks again for coming on the show, Chris. Great having you.
Of course. Thanks, Colin.